was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Lads, hitting you up with podcast number 19, coming at you fast and furiously from the haven that is Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary.
Down in the sunny south of Ireland, man. It's pure Mediterranean here today.
It's tropic here today. On this week's podcast, we are giving you a world exclusive. Yes, there is a sneak preview of our new song, Summer Tune, which is out tomorrow.
And with a summer of GAA and World Cup action going on, we are discussing our favourite and not so favourite pundits and commentators of all time.
You better not hit any sharp puckouts, as hurling fundamentalist Noel Furlong will be here to shake things up with his weekly roundup of news. That is a fact.
That's a fact. And she's the patience of a saint, but she doesn't mind throwing us under the bus every now and then with her mystery topic. It's our producer, Maura.
We'll be debating a podcast listener's dilemma this week. Oh, Two Johnnies Go dilemma. Should they stay in Ireland or see if faraway fields really are greener? Love Island's going to be on your TV screens until the end of July. So the mayor of Love Island, myself, Mr. Johnny Smacks, I'll be continuing with the updates. It survived.
And just about skin of its teeth stuff there from Love Island. We will be finishing up with, of course, this week's Yurt and Dirt.
Yurt and Dirt. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Keith on Twitter said, never realised how much I enjoyed the Two Johnnies podcast until the podcast was like an hour or two later than normal. Well, everybody chill out, like.
Fucking hell, man, the grief.
If you know jobs to go to, it'll be done for your commute home. He nearly had a meltdown waiting for his hit of Noel's news, and he's still laughing at the typical Russian night out. If this is your first podcast, go back to the start. I feel like Brad Pitt in Fight Club here.
Okay, on Guilty Pleasures, which you talked about in the previous podcast, you let us know what your ones were. John snapped us to say his are Police Academy films 1-4. The rest are shit. Love a bit of 80s power ballads too. Good man. John, I tell you, I think I like John. Go for a few pints, belt out some meatloaf. He's my kind of man.
And a lady named Vaughn. She said she is the same thing as you, but you actually disagreed. You don't like this. This is the juice that gherkins or pickles, as some people call them, come in. But we were saying that's just mostly vinegar.
Yeah, I don't like the juice now. But like I'd ate the gherkins like on burgers.
Okay. But a barman in New York City was onto me there on Snapchat. He said that the boys over there drink whiskey and they follow it up with a shot of pure pickle juice and they call it a pickleback.
See, they come up with that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but all American whiskey must be dirt.
That they have to drink that piss after it, yeah.
You wouldn't do it to good Irish whiskey.
No way. No way,
you'd
Jose.
Be locked up.
William was also in touch. He said the podcast really helps with the hardship of foot and turf. Totally agree with Maura on the Ask Miriam column in the Farmer's Journal as a guilty pleasure. A man who foots turf and reads the Farmer's Journal. Maura, we'll have to put you in touch with him, I'd say.
Swipe. Also had a snap from a lad named Luca saying he's the Leaving Cert exam tomorrow, the last one, and he's just listened to a repeat of all the podcasts.
He's failing his exams.
He should be studying, lad. So it's the only thing that's gotten him through is that this last week of study is the podcasts. And he asked Noel if he had any last minute tips for economics. So Noel didn't know that economics was on the Leaving Cert. But he says, if you have money, hold on to it.
No.
Save.
There you go. On the subject of leaders from last week's pod, we got a DM on Insta saying,
aye, aye. DM.
Someone slipped into DMs. And they said, from a sports point of view, Richard Dunn for Ireland has to be on the list. Stevie G for dedicating so much time to one club, and Jim McGuinness and Paddy O'Shea in football. So that was their thoughts.
Remember
on that.
Paddy O'Shea when he was over Westmeath? He cut you like a loaf of bread and he'd turn you out over the sideline.
Loaf of bread, boy. Good man, Paddy. Okay, weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnny's Land this week? A hectic week. A heavy week.
Yeah, the big news is we are releasing our new single tomorrow. Well, Tuesday morning. And it's probably the best thing we've ever done.
Yes, it is, for sure.
So please take a moment and go and download it. It'll be on Spotify. But if you want to pirate with 99 cent, you are now on 19th free episode of the podcast. So if you feel like downloading our single on iTunes and getting us back to number one, our previous three songs went to number one.
And it'd be great to get another one. Yeah.
We're looking at you, listeners.
So the song is called Summer Tune, and we'll play you a bit towards the end of the podcast.
If you're good.
If you're good. If you behave yourselves. So it celebrates everything good about the Irish summer. Coming of age, summer jobs, festivals, young love, heartbreak and friendship. Us driving around on the quad bike in the video is also a very... very pleasant experience.
That was it. Like the whole video shoots, Max. It was you just wanted to get on the quad bike again and again.
Oh man, that was brilliant. A drone.
Maybe we should bring the quad bike into town, like, you know. Maybe there'd be another bit we could do in the quad.
And also, we have another announcement. The podcast.
We're going for it. This is
big news.
Hold
big,
on.
Big news.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
Put seatbelts on your ears for this one.
Put down the weights, right? Stop eating that salad sandwich. The podcast is going live.
God damn!
It's coming to a venue near you. So listen, it's just been announced literally just before we turned on the microphones. Aiken Promotions and ourselves are bringing the podcast live to the Sugar Club in Dublin on September the 27th.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And the Sugar Club abroad in Dublin, it's a real cool place.
Yeah,
we neither of us have ever been there.
No, but we're told it's lovely.
Yeah.
No, but so we're really looking forward to bringing the podcast live to a live audience. We'll have Noel's news, we'll have some special guests, and we'll just be having some crack.
You'll all get to meet Noel in the flesh.
Yeah. So listen, tickets are available from 9 a.m. on Friday. Sound like I'm in the Kings of Leon here. Available on Ticketmaster.
Yeah, proper Ticketmaster.
Like, yeah, proper job, bite.
Normally tickets for our shows are like at O'Dwyer's shop on the Cashin Road.
But Friday at 9 o'clock, Ticketmaster. Now, people are telling us they're going to sell out.
Yeah,
so get them fast.
I can't wait.
It's going to be brilliant. So we're really looking forward to it. We'll all be there. We'll have some special guests. And Noel, as always, of course, will be there. And just another reminder, lads, to podcast listeners of the Midlands, just to let you know, we'll be bringing the comedy tour, The Big Show, Small Show, to the Prince Bar in Athlone on July the 27th. Check out Two Johnny's Facebook page for all the details.
And speaking of tickets, one more snap I got in during the week was of a young lady in Roscommon who...
Roscommon.
Hope you like Roscommon too. Was she was selling her picture this tickets because she had a camogie match.
Perfect.
And I put it up on the Instagram and I got a big reaction and she sold the tickets. But I don't know how she got on in the match. So she might snap us in, let us
know. She might let us know, yeah, exactly.
And I just wanted to talk about in the video we were filming down in Tramore, the holiday destination. It's, you know, it's Ireland's Ibiza. So I had a great crack. There was these two boys, you know, you go into an arcade and you win stuff, you get tickets and you know, you add up the tickets and you get like a teddy bear or something.
Yeah.
So like... these boys contacted me again on Snapchat because I met them down there. They collected 36,976 tickets from the games machines. You know, like you throw the basketball.
They must have been throwing something, lad. They must have pained their shoulders from the basketball hoops.
Two lads, only about 14, 15. So they told me that with the tickets, they got two iPads, a phone, a remote control car, a remote control helicopter, a Bluetooth speaker, and a heap of other stuff. And my brother won a teddy. He's going to give it to you. So that's the snap I got from the boys.
They're some hero. They were inside there. And I swear to God, like, you know what? They're big enough fellas now. But they were just covered head to toe with all these pink tickets. Yeah. Like literally roll, like fertilizer bags full of tickets.
The roll of tickets was 4 foot off the ground. I never
some
saw
characters.
It. Like.
Only in Waterford, boy.
What the fuck?
Okay, topic number one. Punditry. Summer of wall-to-wall sport across all of our TV screens. We have the World Cup being shown on RT, BBC and ITV, along with GAA coverage on RT and Sky Sports. So whose dulcet tones do we like to hear commentate on games? And which pundits' analysis do we relish? And which pundits make us want to kick the TV screen out through the window? Johnny B.
Okay, we'll start in Ireland, seeing as most of our listeners are in Ireland, and I never watch the English coverage, so I don't have much to say about them. But the one man who always makes me turn up the telly, Eamon Dunphy. Right, probably the least experienced, one of the least experienced pundits out there in terms of his playing career. You know what I mean? You got Liam Brady beside him. Like, he win Champions Leagues for Juventus and all. The guy's a legend. Even though he's awful boring and depressed sounding. But, right, the thing about Dunphy is he's entertaining. Now, we talked about this. He goes too far. Sometimes he makes it a bit about himself. And you all remember there was a famous clip where... somebody made a point and there was a point in the newspaper and then Dunphy's like, oh yeah, well, who wrote that? And he goes on about that. And to me, he goes too far.
Yeah, but it's compelling viewing.
Oh, it's great TV. It's great TV. But sometimes this happens too much in life anyway. Somebody makes a point, and instead of arguing the point, they argue about the person.
There you go.
What I mean? Mm-hmm. Mick Wallace might say something right there once a year, and instead of arguing the point, they'll say, I can't talk with a man who can't find the barbers. You know? So I like Dunphy. He's wicked entertaining, and he's kind of philosophical about the whole thing.
Yeah, like, in fairness to Dunphy, he is good, like, but then on the other hand, you know, sometimes he shares the studio with Richie Sadler, you know, who should probably be working at the amusements in Tremor, considering the career he's had. But I mean, it's gas to think, you know, when Didi Hamann's on with him, it comes up Champions League winner 2005, and then it comes up underneath Richie Sadler's name, came third at the UEFA Under-18s Nations Cup or something. So to me, Richie Sadler is, I'd rather watch a man shave his foot than listen to his analysis, quite simply. But I mean, now RT do have some good pundits. I mean, when we talk GAA wise, away from the soccer, I think all the GAA lads are fairly good. Bar Gerlachnan, who hates Tip. I can't say that enough. But I mean, back to the soccer, Johnny. Do you have more on your? Because you don't watch ITV or BBC, which actually produce good pundits.
Why would I watch that?
I suppose you probably.
The English...
You have to pay for them channels.
They're unbearable talking about their own soccer team. Every fella who ever put on the white jersey for England is the greatest player of all time, according to them. Every time they qualify, it's going to be a swashbuckling campaign and they're going to waltz. And every time they lose, they're robbed. Like, they drive me insane.
They've just beaten Panama 6-1 yesterday.
But sure, me mad beat Panama. Huh?
But in fairness, like, you know, their studio, BBC studio and ITV studios are out of this world, like, you know. I have to say that. And they do, I think they do produce pretty good pundits over there.
Like who?
Would you not? Roy Keane's on ITV, an Irishman.
They can't claim him, like.
Yeah, Ireland produced him, no?
Yeah, but sure, he's still producing his goods over there, isn't he? Why isn't he on RT? We fucking Richie Dunn. Like, seriously, Richard Dunn looks very uncomfortable as a pundit. I think he'd be as well off being a mechanic. Or maybe serving in the chippers on a Saturday if they were stuck.
As a pundit, Richie Dunn looks uncomfortable in a suit.
Yeah, I'd say, like, he's only wore a suit like maybe weddings and going to court. Apart from that, like, he just, and like, he hardly needs the money. He was probably on good dough, like, when he was playing.
A great player.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's an absolute hero of a player, like an Irish legend. Remember in Russia, he cut his face off the AstroTurf pitch, and he was still going around the place like a madman, playing unreal. As a pundit, like, oh God, no, they're surely better. And Damien Duff as well. Pretty mundane as well.
Yeah, but...
He'll eventually just morph into Liam Brady.
the bigger issue with guys who are just out of retirement, I feel they're really looking at the now. They're looking at what's in front of them tactically. Whereas if you get somebody who's a bit old and senile, like, you know, Dunphy or George Hook, that kind of era... They can be much more philosophical, talk about, you know, our organisation, where's the game going as a whole. So they look at it quite differently, and I find them more entertaining. If you're a modern pundit just retired from the game, you've got to be really tactical. You've got to be really in-depth. You don't expect that from, you know, Johnny Giles is still like, you know, jumpers for goalposts, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen. What about Brian Kerr? I mean, he's really hit the headlines this World Cup.
As a co-commentator.
Yeah, sportsjoe.ie done a compilation of some of his best World Cup quotes so far. One is, looks like he's banjoed right now. Dead eye dick, right in the corner. He went down like a big whinge bag. The only reason Peru are here is because Bolivia got done for playing a banger. I have no idea what he's even talking about. And then his last one is, well, he didn't shoot him or knife him, but he's after going down as if he was battered. His nickname is Aladdin, so I would have expected him to pull one of his magic wands out a lamp or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Kerr.
Yeah, but that's what Irish people want.
They do. They want to, like, in fairness, if you're watching Nigeria and fucking Senegal or whoever they're playing, it's a dour enough game. At least Brian Kerr might bring a bit of spark to it. Like, I seen a fella getting an ice pack, putting his knee in, they wrapped it in cling film. And Kerr just said, normally you just cover your sandwiches with them. But now they heal injuries.
Yeah.
Poor Brian.
So what you want is entertainment and honesty. If there's one thing the Irish public hate, it's a spoofer.
But we've got loads of them, though.
Yeah, but you'd rather somebody like Joe Brawley or Eamon Dunphy, who shoots from the hip and mightn't always be right. You mightn't always agree with them, but you feel like they're genuine. And that's the thing about Roy Keane again, like.
Yeah, there probably is that bit of honesty, brutal honesty at times. I mean, he said he'd rip Carlos Quiroz's head off during the week.
And he meant it.
And he wasn't messing around, like, you know.
But you said you'd be hoping they'd say something mental.
Yeah.
Start an old debate.
But it very rarely happens. And Sky Sports as well are criminal for that. I mean, they pump so much money into the Premier League and stuff that they actually won't say anything controversial. I've never heard, like, they analyse the game really well, but they'll never actually say anything controversial. But, like, the last person who did say anything controversial lost a job in Sky Sports, who was Andy Gray.
That wasn't controversial. He was just, like, sexist, slagging a woman off, wasn't he?
Yeah,
off air.
That was that wasn't controversial. That was textbook sexual harassment. So
he did try and get her to, like, fit his microphone or something, wasn't it? And it was, like, down his pants, something like that.
Yeah, completely creepy, and it wasn't the first time.
But I've got him in my list here of great commentators.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as, like, saying a striker is finished or something. That's the kind of controversial we want.
Okay, you didn't want pure controversy, you know? Sure, didn't Louis Walsh say all publicity is good publicity?
Yeah, but that lad got fired.
Yeah, he's out in Dubai now making a fortune. Happy days. There you go. But I do have him in my top three of commentators.
Andy Gray,
yeah. Remember his commentary on Steven Gerrard's goal?
Oh, yeah.
When we needed a goal, by God, did he give us one.
But there's obviously a different category of punditry and commentary.
Yeah, I put him in my commentary now, along with Adam Smith from the boxing.
Don't tease us, Johnny. Give us your top three.
Well, I give you my top three, okay.
Well, you have to tease me there, like, with the tip.
Well, I've worked fucking hard at this, so you're going getting it now. Yeah, so I've got Andy Gray and Martin Tyler as a team. I think they defined the Premier League. So the Premier League was introduced in 92, and the two boys were, like, the leading lights of it. Andy Gray in the studio, and then he went on to commentate on some of the great goals. And now Sky have actually cut him out of highlights packages and everything.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's like he's dead. And I have to give a mention to George Hamilton in commentary.
Yeah.
A nation holds its breath. That will live forever, like. Apart from, like, when he has Jim Beglin with him, it's unbearable. Because Jim Beglin, how long has he been working with George Hamilton? And he can't call him by the right name. He calls him George. Yes, good play, George. I never knew there was a CH in fucking George.
Where's Jim Beglin from, lad?
I don't know. He's Irish anyway. He played for Ireland. But I'd say he's a dub, like, crossed with, like, he's been living in England with a while. So, George.
George.
Yeah, George. They're definitely my top commenter. And I have to give a mention. I'm straying from GA and soccer now. I've got to get a mention in for Timmy McCarthy, the basketball commentator.
Yes.
Oh, Ireland break him out so often, you know. They might get him at the Olympics or something, and he's commentating then downtown a three-pointer from Kilester. And he makes basketball interesting, because in fairness, it is shit. So, I mean, they need something to brighten it up. And Timmy does a cracking job of it. And sometimes he's commentating on the gymnastics at the Olympics.
Is he?
Yeah, and it's completely out of place. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, boom, shakalaka, she landed a somersault. It is crazy.
I'd love to get Ryan Nugent commentating on the snooker, like.
Oh, man.
He's on the red.
Yeah. I also, my last top commentator, Jimmy McGee, the memory man.
The memory man.
I met him at a quiz once, and it was class. I got me photo taken with him. Jimmy knew everything. He'd know what colour knickers your mother had on. Yeah. there was nothing that man did not know, lads. I'll tell you that.
Well, I think...
Can we get on to the Sunday game now?
Yeah, well, I think none of them would hold a candle to Micheál Mahertic.
Oh, he is the ultimate.
The GOAT, as they say nowadays. Greatest of all time. I'd like to see Micheál Mahertic commentate on everything. That man could read the phone book to me. I'd be happy. Bork, Priest Rod. 0-5-2. You know what I mean? I'd love to see him doing Love Island. That'd be good now. Alex George have the ball. He's moving well. His father was a doctor. His mother hurled for Antrim. He's on the 40. He's on the 30. Blocked by Eyal Booker. He's a model from London. He's a wing back today. Up the sideline, moving under the Cusick stand. It's Danny Dyer. Her father won a Leinster title with East London back in 04. Adam Collard on the ball. He dummies past Rosie. And it's a goal. Cool for Collard.
I like it. I like him. Micheál Mahertic, the new voice of Love Island.
He'd be great, lad.
Yeah, he is the best. I mean, I asked you the other day, who did you rather, Marty Morrissey or Ger Canning? You went for Marty.
Marty Morrissey.
I went for Ger Canning.
Ger Canning's too straight for me. Marty is going to pull out a bit of Holy Moses for you.
Holy Moses!
Marty is he's a small bit like Brian Curry, but he's not mental.
Yeah, maybe he likes to party the same amount as Brian Curry. I don't know. I've never seen Brian Curry in coppers. The Sunday game. Can somebody answer us a question? Why do they all wear three-piece suits? Is it not a bit over the top?
I'd love to know this because I've seen a really funny tweet.
I've seen you actually retweeted that, yeah.
Yeah, it was basically this guy was saying he was going into a suit shop and he's like, oh, I need, you know, a waistcoat. I need, you know, a pocket square and all this. And man was like, yeah, that's fine. So when's your wedding? He's like, oh, I'm not going to a wedding. I'm commentating on the Sunday game or doing punditry on the Sunday game. So
it's crazy. Like the, now, in fairness, like, you know, Cummins looks good in the suits. Well, we get our suits in the same place as well.
This is a really recent development because if you go back to the 90s, Pets Blan is there in a scandalous mustard baggy shirt and tie.
Mustard.
The jackets only came in recently. Tomas O'Shea was breaking it out the weekend.
Don Lo Cusack as well. Back when he was doing it, he had some outrageous suits.
Yeah, one of my favourite pundits though.
Yeah.
Don Lo went for the detail.
Detail
mixed with philosophy. The perfect cocktail.
Not like Gerlach Nan, who started fighting a fucking phone box.
No, to me, Gerlach Nan and Cyril Farrell, I love Cyril, but they're all cliches.
Yeah.
Cyril Lochnan could say bang over the bar 27 times and I still wouldn't get sick of it. But you need more than... He can't go 10 seconds without using wristy hurlers or bang over the bar.
Wristy hurlers.
Yeah.
So who's your favourite hurling pundit?
At the moment, Cummins.
Yeah, I'd agree on that one. And football then, I'd probably go for... I like Tomas O'Shea.
Yeah.
He's probably my favourite. Can't listen to Kieran Whelan at all. Just can't do it.
I think Kieran is actually quite a good analyst in that he had any commentary I've seen about, you know, the problems with really defensive football, I thought his suggestion of playing a 13-man team was actually a pretty good idea, and I'd like to see that trialed and see how that, you know, works for football. So
that's definitely something we'll get into in another podcast for sure. Like to make that's definitely one that's going to come our way. Can I just give a shout to Sky? I hate their coverage. No, I'm joking. It was strange at the weekend. So I was meant to go to the Tip Mayo game, but something came up then I couldn't go. And I had to sit at home and watch it. So I was watching it on Sky. And in an odd development, they had Killian O'Connor after the match up in the studio. In his full kit.
Oh yeah, he's after playing.
It was so strange. Like,
he still the boots on?
He had the boots and everything on, the tape on the wrist and all. And he's standing there like talking him through plays and stuff. I don't know. It was odd that he was in the studio. It just seemed strange.
You think he'd be in the tracksuit or something?
Yeah. Now I suppose they're trying to get like, now it was a roasting day. I'd say he'd melt in the tracksuit.
Yeah, but I mean, if I had a TV studio, I wouldn't be letting a fella in boots.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be allowed in the kitchen in boots.
It was so odd. Like, they were all there in the shirts and ties, and then he was just there in a full Mayo kit, boots and all on him. Sky, look, they're trying something different.
No, Michael Lester wouldn't do that.
I think Sky have too many Kilkenny pundits. Anyway, there's just throwing that out there.
What, they've won, have they?
No, two. Haven't they?
One
too many. Anyway, there you go.
Just on the Sunday game, I like Michael Lester, and I know he's coming to the end of his time, but I like... Right, he's fairly straight. He's not going to give you any mad one-liners, but he just keeps the thing going, and he needs to be straight because he has the likes of Brawley and O'Rourke and Pat Splann going mental.
His most spoken quote, I says, "Ah, come on, Joe."
Yeah.
"Ah, come on, Joe."
And I think that Joanne, who's going to replace him, is going to have a real tough job. Because Michael has such a relationship with the boys. They're a bit of an old boys club, you know what I mean? I'm not doubting that, but they know each other so well, they're not afraid to have a go at each other. Mm. And I think it's going to be hard for her. She's going to have to try and fit in there. She's going to have to go out for pints with the lads several times now between here and next year. You need to be able to blackmail each other, you know what I mean?
She needs to have something over them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We wish her the very best of luck in controlling them.
Yeah, because O'Rourke, like, isn't he an actual headmaster?
He is, yeah. He's the principal of St. Patrick's Classical School in Navan. So, yeah, he has that authoritarian... As a Meath woman, I absolutely love Colin O'Rourke and think he's the best pundit ever. He'd be my top person. And I love Joe. And Pat Splann, I could take or leave. I think his analysis is sometimes limited or not that...
Flawed.
Well...
It's not in-depth enough for...
Yeah, he says intensity a lot.
He does say high intensity in that.
Yeah.
But he himself was quite an intense player.
Yeah.
The stories of him training, he'd run around the field with weights on his ankles.
Jesus.
That's intensity.
One word, high intensity.
Yeah. That's two words.
There you go.
That's the joke.
That's Pat's plan.
Well, I like Colin O'Rourke, but I do think he has a voice for doing the shipping forecast.
450 knots.
Yeah. Malin Head have the ball, Mizzenhead, you know. So yeah, look, the RT sports coverage in general is a bit of an all boys club, which is not great in, you know, life and politics. But I like it that they're all lads in sport. You can call me sexist if you want there, but I like all the. I think when they're a bunch of lads together, the only thing they're missing, I bet as soon as the cameras go away, they all take like a glass of cognac out from under the desk and smoking pipe stacks. So I think, I don't know, I think the female pundits are going to really shake things up. I think it'll be a big change.
Long overdue.
Yeah, what? I think it'll be challenging for female pundits coming in, because if you're coming in as a woman to that situation, you really have to prove yourself, and you have to be not just even as good as the pundits, you have to be better than them.
Especially if you're the only one.
Yeah, I think Joanne will be fantastic on the Sunday game. I watched her anchoring the Olympic coverage last year, and she was just sublime. She just knew how to handle everybody in that. Now, Joe Brawley is as mad as a bag of cats, but sure, you know.
Listen, if she can handle Joe, she'll handle anyone, I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah.
There we go. There's our take on pundits, lads. Hope you enjoyed. Now, as always, get in touch. Let us know your favourite pundits, what it is you like about them. And you can also nail all the pundits as well. If you want to abuse them, we'll take it all.
We'll give it a go.
You can throw
Actually,
it our
way. We'll commentate on some games we saw over the summer.
Yeah, there you go. The following is a health warning. Please do not operate heavy machinery or drive a vehicle during the next segment of this podcast. The leather jacket he wears and the van he drives are both from the 1980s. It's everybody's favourite hurling fundamentalist. It's Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! Well, young fella.
Well, Noel, how are you? It's good to have you back.
Back? Why was I gone, was I?
Since last week.
You didn't come in and do one without me.
No. God, no. Are you enjoying the warm weather?
I am.
It's a lovely pair of... are those slacks cut at the knees?
Yeah, so? You can't be going out buying shorts. You get no spin out of them. I have no denims from... Geraldine got me one time. They're awful. Awful. So, Carmel took the scissors to him. Now I have shorts. Very modern, huh?
Lovely. Go on, serve us up this week's portion of Noel's News.
If you interrupt me again. Right. Speaking of punditry, this week, top news story. Footballer has been banned from TV in Iran because of his hair.
My God.
That's a fact. Former Barcelona defender and lover of perms, Carlos Puyol, was supposed to be doing commentary on Iranian TV, but he would not allowed on air for the first match. Now, the commentator, Adel Fjordespjord, had to do it on his own. And you know Fjordespjord as well as I do now. That wouldn't suit him. So people started saying, Puyol, oh, he wanted too much money. Too much twine. Big money. But that wasn't it at all. The truth came out, bite. He was after travelling to Iran. He went the whole way to Iran. And he walked up to the door or the television station. And they said, you can't come in with that hair.
No way.
That's a fact. So, now they said they have no official hairstyle policy. Like yourselves.
Yeah.
I think the two Johnnies, you just try and look as scandalous as possible. Look at the head in him. The side's all shaved like a convict. Do you lose a bet or something?
It's the style, no.
Nah. Like a teddy bag going on to this, huh? So, the state TV said they wouldn't have anything un-Islamic on the teddy. Not to mean smart now, but Islam, right? The Prophet Muhammad had the same fucking hair as Puyol. Google him. Type him into your Google there. The Prophet Muhammad. Big, long, same. Curly hair. The fucking same as Puyol. He's the bulb off him. He could be his uncle. So, now the bigger problem here that I find is that as far as I know, Spanish and Barcelona right back, Carlos Puyol, don't speak fluent Arabic. And as far as I know, the people of Iran don't speak fluent Spanish. Mm-hmm. How the fuck was he going to commentate in the game? Subtitles, was it?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a fact. So, like, the hair is gas too, because he's only be commentating. You're not going to see him. Mm-hmm. Sure, Brian Kerr could be sitting above there in his briefs. And you wouldn't know. Did you ever see him?
A pair of white fronts on him.
So, Carlos Puyol, are you familiar with him, Maureen?
I wouldn't be sorry, no.
He kind of... He liked the Spanish Mick Wallace.
Oh, God.
And he's not that tall. Wouldn't suit you. But he's a good player. He played for the one club his whole career. Mm. And he's known for being tough and consistent. Like a Guinness shit.
Oh, God.
So now, Iran are ranked 37th in the FIFA world rankings, which is actually 6 places behind us.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's some horse in the bucket now. They're over there and we're here twiddling ourselves. If Ireland were let into the World Cup, I reckon, like, they'd let Shane McGowan do the commentary. Or they have him, who've they got? Do you have your man Damien Dempsey in now?
Damien Duff.
Yeah. They'd let anyone do it, I'd say. And now the weather with Van Morrison. So, look, that is the crack in Iran, or the lack of crack, I should say, in that fucking place. My second news of the week, they have discovered a new type of monkey. But wait, he's dead. This is true now. I know by the blank look on your face, you haven't heard this story.
No, no. It's news to me.
This is like you in school. Staring at the wall. Thinking about the birds. So archaeologists in China have dug up a tomb of a woman from 2,300 years ago. You think they'd leave her alone? Wouldn't you think they'd fucking leave her alone? No peace. So... trying to excavate this one, you know, that's like me of a Sunday morning now, and I'm trying to duck out of mass. Cameron had to get the excavator to get me out of the bed, out of the cot. So in this old tomb, they found a skeleton they'd never seen before. It's a new type of gibbon. Gibbons, they have small faces and long arms, like the happy pair. But these are the type of monkey, the gibbons now. Type monkey. So, these guys are now extinct. But they were around 2,000 years ago, which means that they were probably wiped out by humans. Much like the happy pair, if they don't stop fucking talking. Only a matter of time now. Them boys are on thin ice at me. So, this new type of monkey has been named Junzi. Junzi. I think I heard it again. Junzi Walsh for Capoquin one time. So there used to be monkeys all over China and Capoquin, actually, but that's a different story. But due to the pressures and their habitat, they all moved, and they're only monkeys. They're only down the south of China now. So go easy on the monkeys, because they're nearly extinct. Now gibbons, they used to be kept as luxury pets. That's why people had them around. And you say to me, you know, people say to me, Noel, you're too harsh on the Chinese. People say to me, I'm getting this. I'm getting this in the ear now. You're too harsh on the Chinese. Okay, who hunted the monkeys to extinction? Who hunted the monkeys to extinction? It wasn't the camera spies. They're in a brigade of lads from County Leash going out hunting the white rhino. I mean, I know they're rough, but they don't eat rhino. So go handy on the monkeys. It's all handy. The monkeys never done nothing to no one. Huh?
There's going to be outcry up in cameras.
I don't give a fuck. I'll say it, right? What have to be said. Noel will say it. So... my third and local story, I heard this country markets and delighted to hear it. Delighted to finally hear it. The big news, Peggy Burke is after getting the hip done. She'd been limping around the town like a three-legged dog for fucking years. Now, you know Peggy a mile away. She has the lovely bicycle. No, she don't cycle it. She can't pull on her bloomers in the morning. She uses the bike for balance. Going up and down the town. She's like a bad circus act. This one now, right? But she had a tough life, that woman. Tell you that now. Peggy had a tough life. Did you ever meet the husband, Billy Burke? God, he was a wild man. Billy a wild man, by. He worked that and he worked at nothing, that fella. He do nothing. He was over in England for years now, Billy Burke. And he was working in Essex, which he said is kind of like the English Carlow. He was co-pilot on a cement mixer. And he couldn't get a start. All the English lads said, we don't want any blacks or paddies. So Billy let on he was a white South African. Oh, God. And I used to call around to Peggy, get the news off Peggy. And she'd say, will you come in, Noel? Will you have tea, Noel? I'll even squeeze your bag. So Billy had sent home the money to Peggy. But he started getting fond of the old porter and the crack and our wandering eye. And eventually Peggy got a letter home from Billy in London. Dear Peggy, hope you and the children are all well. I'm working hard, tough conditions. I asked Noel to keep an eye on you while I'm away. Love, Billy. P.S. I meant to put some money in the letter, but I had the envelope sealed before I thought of it. I guess, man, Billy, asking me to keep an eye on her. Huh? Jeez.
And did you know?
How'd you think she done the hip?
Oh.
Drive it, drive it, drive it. Ha. 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 So times are different then, mate. Times were harsh. We used to, you know the little river down the back there, the stream?
Yeah, yeah.
We used to catch the little fish and we'd fry them up and you'd eat them whole. And you'd kind of batter them with bits of bread and that. And you know what them fish were called in Little Fish? Gudgeons. And that is where you now get the word for goujons. The French lads saw us eating the gudgeons. And now if you get a little bit of chicken with the bread on it, it's in the shape of a gudgeon. And they call it goujons. And that's a fact.
I'm not too sure if that is.
Well, it's better than the shite you're eating nowadays. The dirt you're eating nowadays. Old fucking Mickey Donald's and old, you wouldn't know what they're eating. Crows and scallions and...
Crows and scallions. Okay.
I wouldn't be gone that Ronald McDonald, anyway.
Why not?
I never had much time for that man. Remember the first time he came to Ireland?
No.
No? You forget. You don't be reading your history. Ronald McDonald shot Padraig Pearse. And that's a fact.
Why did he shoot Padraig Pearse?
In an argument over a cow.
Oh, you're not well.
Over Pearse was selling the heifer at the time. And Ronald McDonald infiltrated the Ryzen. Look, I'd love to stay and educate you a bit more, but I must go away. I'm hanging the gate for Patsy Donegan.
We'll see you later, Noel. You'll be back next week.
I will.
Good man.
If you're good.
Oh.
Go on, good luck.
See ya. Oh my God. He's done it again. Poor Ronald McDonald, boy, huh? Out hunting cattle, big pair of red shoes on him. Okay. People keep telling us we have this woman ruined, and Maura, we apologise for that. But now she gets her chance to get her own back and ruin us. Maura, what's your mystery topic this week?
This week's topic is carpool karaoke. So I don't know if you have seen it. The most recent carpool karaoke featuring James Corden, it's with the famous Paul McCartney from the Beatles. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's 20 minutes long and basically James Corden and Paul McCartney travel all around Liverpool, going back to all the spots in the city that inspired Beatles song, like Penny Lane and some bars and some barbershops and stuff like that. For people who aren't familiar with carpool karaoke, it's basically a thing that James Corden started when he took over the Late Late Show on CBS, not the RTE one.
How are they allowed to do that?
I don't know, but yeah.
We're going to set up our own Sunday game.
Who had it first, I wonder?
I'm not quite sure. I think we did with the same title, but they're in a different country. And it's quite funny as well, though. You see sometimes people tweeting the Late Late Show and they put at the Late Late Show and it's the James Corden one. Uh-huh. It's like, so I imagine the producers are like, why are all these people tweeting us about this, you know, discussion about drink driving, you know?
I don't think Tom Cruise was on Friday night.
But anyway, so basically it involves James Corden with this, when carpool karaoke usually happens, it's usually around LA, and it's James Corden and a celebrity driving around the city, singing songs, having the chats. Now, you used to have done a carpool karaoke. Well, it was a carpool, there was no singing in it. Maybe there was a little bit of singing, but it was bad singing. But I want to know, who would be your fantasy carpool karaoke passengers?
Easy. Garrett Brooks, all day. And it's full band. I'd have a fella playing slide guitar in the boot. Yes, that's it. Garrett Brooks. One, I don't even have to think about. Definitely Garrett Brooks. We just drove back from Limerick there today and boomed out a Garrett Brooks CD. Oh, yeah. That's it, Garrett Brooks all day. I've yet to see him live. Obviously, he fucked us all over the last time he came here for five nights and never came. But he definitely.
Where would you go with him?
Camaros. No. Anywhere, really. Not Dublin. Too many cyclists. Don't get me started. Definitely not Dublin. I'd bring him around Tip, lad.
Yeah, for the chat and the songs.
The old chat and a few songs, and we'd both be singing Red Strokes driving around in the car. Whoa, Red Strokes.
Pull into the Bridge House for the mineral.
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, bring him for a dinner there in Huey's and a few other places. And just a nice day with Garrett Brooks. What about you? Some fellow with Slayer now.
No. I'd like to maybe go around Dublin with Christy Dignam.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good.
Good show, yeah.
Because I like to get, as the fella said, if you want to meet an Indian, go meet him in his wigwam. Very important quote for life, lads. So I would like to someone like that, and go around all the spots that shaped them. I mean, Garrett Brooks will tell you stories, but like Chrissy Dignam will be like, you know, to see that pub there, like, tell you something happening there and where they come up with the songs and all. His stories could be quite dark.
Yeah, I'd say Garrett Brooks would be a bit more colourful about wheat fields and all this kind of country shit. But honky, it would bring me to a honky tonk bear. Yeah, for me, it'd have to be Garrett Brooks. He's the one performer I'd like to see, you know, in person.
Well, yours are fairly tame. I'll tell you my ones, okay?
Okay.
So, four members of Fleetwood Mac, Lindsay Buckingham, Stevie.
So they don't even talk. That'd be an awkward journey.
That'd be brilliant.
None of them be talking to each other.
You imagine the domestic. So it's like, so, whose fault was it that you broke up multiple times? Go.
But like, you stop.
And then sing Rihanna there. Good.
Yeah, you stop for chicken while Linda tear the heads off each other outside the Topaz.
Probably my favourite person would be, well, person that would, I think would be just amazing, Johnny Cash. Can you imagine that?
But he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, but he's dead or alive. I didn't limit his.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that, no.
Michael Jackson then.
Oh, very good.
There you go.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be locking the doors, Michael Jackson. Freddie Mercury, yes, class. Brilliant.
Imagine you just pull up for a chicken roll and he'd be like, he wouldn't even get out of the car. Yeah, at the drive through. Mayo! Give me a chicken sandwich! Yeah, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Although you wouldn't go to a drive through with Freddie Mercury, you'd probably bring him somewhere decent.
Yeah. Maybe
you'd have to.
I'd go to the Shamrock Lounge now and get a Carvery off Margaret.
For sure.
Yeah, one person who's dead, Marvin Gaye, I just think he has the most amazing voice. There's a thing on my Twitter feed. It's a video of him singing I Heard It on the Grapevine, and it's just his vocal. And if Jesus could sing, that's what Jesus would sound like.
Jesus sound like Marvin Gaye.
And last one, probably Tina Turner. I think she would be amazing. So yeah, they're my ones.
We've had a lot of ladies actually in touch via Snapchat agreeing with you on the episode of Top Live Performers of All Time. A lot of love for Tina Turner, Maura. You're not alone.
I can't stand that song rolling. It's so overplayed.
What?
Yeah. Proud Mary.
Get out that door now. I have nothing bad said about Tina Turner.
It's so overplayed. If I hear that at a wedding now.
Well, it's not her song. It's a Creedence Clearwater revival song.
Yeah.
But leave it there. leave them off to it.
Can I just throw back to commentators for one sec? Mm-hmm. Great story. A fella told me about he's out on holidays once. And you know Bill O'Hurley had all the catchphrases.
Yeah.
And he said he's walking down the street and he's fairly jarred up and he sees Bill O'Hurley like drinking a coffee outside a cafe. And he shouts over, "Ah, how are you, Bill?" And Bill's like, "How you doing?" And your man shouts over, "Okie dokie." And Bill says, "We leave it there, so."
Brilliant.
Oh, I love that story.
Christy Tignum and...
Freddie Mercury,
yeah.
Yeah, Garth Brooks and Michael Jackson for me, I'd say.
Yeah. His name's Garth Brooks. It's not Gareth Brooks.
Garth. I'll use my American accent, Garth Brooks. Yeah, they'd definitely be there for me. And if I could get all the members of Westlife in the car as well, I'd manage it. I'd probably have to get a people carrier, but so be it. I'd go around singing Flying Without Wings.
You would have Brian McFadden then as well.
No, I'd let him off.
Well, if I can bring dead people, I'm bringing Luke Kelly.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I've reconsidered all my choices now.
Yeah, I want Luke Kelly as he was, and Christy Dignam, and maybe Freddie Mercury, and we'll drive around Dublin, the four of us.
Oh. That's a good car.
And you're going to be in front of Garth Brooks and Westlife, and we'll be bumping into the backy. Get rid of me, waist, Max.
How can I protect you in this crazy car? Yeah, so let do you more.
I wish I could make that happen now. This would be amazing.
There's one thing we can't do here on the Two Johnnies podcast, and that's bring people back from the dead. But we chance it.
I'd like to also maybe get, if I could get a fifth man in the boot, I'd probably get Shane McGowan, but you know, not too drunk. Just Shane McGowan when he's buzzing.
You'd have to travel back in time for that.
Yeah. Maybe so.
So we need a time machine and something to bring people back from the dead.
Yeah. And just this week, one of my favourite drummers of all time, Vinnie Paul from Pantera, passed away aged only 54, and he was an absolute legend. So he could keep time for us.
Class. Mm. There'll be one person very upset by listening to that in the podcast, that's it. Pantera.
He's up in heaven rocking with his brother. They're both dead. Anyway.
This podcast is taking a sinister turn.
It's gone a bit deep. Anyway, bring back Freddie Mercury.
It's taking a sinister turn. All right, lads, that was Maura's Mystery Topic. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. And don't forget to subscribe, lads. You'll get the little notification, and it'll be happy days on the Monday.
Hey, we were number one again last week.
Number one again last week. That's it. And don't forget, use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the digit 2 Johnnies Pod.
Pure sound out, Lottie.
Yeah, we'll be checking it. We're loving the feedback. We enjoy the old interaction.
Sure, we read it out, lads. We read it out. There you go. That's only a tip of the iceberg.
And yeah, we're going to try and get a prize now for the best team we get sent in weekly. So we're working on that at the moment. Give you an old prize as well as a free podcast.
Yeah, Noel is going to have his own t-shirts. They're coming out soon.
Topic number 3. Right. Should I stay or should I go? Podcast listener snapped us a few weeks back with an interesting dilemma. We thought we'd trash it out here in the podcast. Here it goes. Dooley says, I'm 23, living in Galway, which is great crack, with things to do most of the time usually. That's almost a contradiction there from. I have a fairly decent job at the minute, so the dilemma I'm having is trying to decide whether it's best to try and concentrate on the job and making a career of it in Galway / Ireland, or heading off to the likes of Canada or Australia for a while to see what life is like over there. But I would obviously lose the job. I have by doing that. I'd say there's a lot of people in the same boat, so maybe you might have a few thoughts on that. So he throws a dilemma.
Yeah. So why go? Right? Why go? For work is the main reason a lot of our mates went. And it's to get experience. I was talking to a couple of guys about this. They say if you go to England, Australia, and you come back with this on your CV, that this is apparently looks a lot better than having worked for a local guy. Mm. Because if you're abroad, you can just fluff it.
Yeah, just tell lies.
Oh, I was a ganger. I was over 27 lads. It's not like they can ring. I worked for Mick Ryan. Oh, I know Mick Ryan. And I ring him. And Mick says, that fella's useless.
Yeah.
So having this vagueness on your CV, I was over in Australia pouring concrete with the boys. Mm. Looks very good. A mate of mine also had a very specific career. He did design. And he was over in England then designing all mad shit for colleges and universities. Came back to Ireland, sure, and he ended up just selling fucking tables and chairs, like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big dilemma for that man to be in. But I think a lot of people go and say, like, oh, I'm going to get the price of a house. Like, you know, I'm going out to get the deposit now for a house. Mm. And I'll go out there and save. But it doesn't happen.
No, never.
You know, even, like, when we were out in Abu Dhabi, they were saying, ah, yeah, we're on great money, like, but sure, the standard of life is so good out here that, like, you know, we're actually end up making the same as we would at home. Because they're spending more, living a better life as such.
Drinking
and out having the crack. You know, a lot of them aren't saving. Like, you know, and people say, oh, yeah, I'm off to Australia. I'm going into the mines.
Yeah.
Grand. It's good cash. You'll make your kind. But you're there for 3 weeks solid. Every day. Then you come out, you get a week off. What are you going to do in your week off?
Drink.
You're going to party. You're going to spend money. Have a good time. You're going to be spending that money you've earned.
Yeah.
Like, I tell you, credit to anybody who goes into the mines and comes home for the week off and sleeps on their friend's couch and goes back to the mines. I don't think it happens.
No.
Well, a cousin of mine, what he would do is that he spent 3 weeks working in the mines and then would fly to Thailand on his week off, and the cost of living was really cheap over there. So, well, you know,
maybe.
Did he come home
with the price of a house?
He still lives out in Australia. I know a couple of people, they mightn't have come home with the price of the house, but they came home with a fair whack of cash. And they
that lad was going to Thailand on his week off. I'd say what he came home with now.
No. He's a good lad. I would be kind of thinking, I was lucky enough during the recession that I always had a job. I did get let go from one job, but then they recruited me back 6 weeks later, so it was great. I had got 6 weeks paid holiday essentially with the redundancy, so I didn't have to go abroad for work. But did you ever think about going to Canada or Australia?
A lot of people who go don't really have to go.
No.
A lot of people go, I would agree that travel broadens the mind. And now Smax is the opposite of me on this, but I think if you're living somewhere,
you can broaden your own mind. You know, you don't need some crusty Australian in a hostel to broaden your mind. Like,
yeah, but if you're living somewhere where you don't know how things work, now that's a nightmare for you.
Yeah, no.
But that, I think you grow up. It makes you grow up fast when you have to adapt.
I don't know. I left home when I was 18, so I went to college, and then I came back after 1 year in college.
Yeah, stop it there now. Who did you wash in?
Yeah, my mother and me washing.
Obviously. Yeah, it's not the same as living in Australia.
But then I moved down here when I was like 19.
Yeah.
19 and a half. And I've been living on my own ever since, like, you know. Well, like living out of home, yeah, and stuff, you know. So I've learned to grow up that way. I didn't need to go to Australia or whatever to learn how to grow up, like.
Yeah, but you still haven't grown up.
Essentially, yeah, but
I just took over where your mother left off.
I think the thing is with emigration, a lot of people think, you know, the grass is greener over there.
In Australia, there's hardly any grass at all.
Yeah.
But it's not really, like, do you know what I mean? You still have to go over there, work 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, you've still got to pay your bills. You have to pay taxes as normal. You know, like, It's just a different part of the world. I mean, people put up on Instagram, oh, love and life in Australia. I'm down here having a barbecue on the beach. Mm. They're probably up at 5 o'clock in the morning, commuting 2 hours to go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to Australia because I've heard from a variety of people who've all been in different parts of Australia. It's not as, how would you say, it's not all it's cracked up to be. One place, I'd say if you're thinking of going to the Southern Hemisphere, New Zealand, I've been there. It is an amazing place. Yeah. You know, the North Island is just all about adventure activities and, you know, paragliding. And
yeah.
You
know, spend the money though.
Yeah, you would. But actually, it's actually kind of cheap to do that stuff in New Zealand because the government have a really good system set up in that they provide the insurance for that. So the companies who want to do these extreme adventure sports, they can get cheap insurance from the government, and therefore the activities don't cost as much as they would here in Ireland. So I think,
I don't know if activity sports is the top of people's reasons for emigrating.
Yeah.
There just weren't enough activities in Ireland.
Yeah, I just couldn't paraglide.
But I think people's reason for, my reason for emigrating would be adventure. I want to go off and experience a different culture.
Should you move to Senegal or somewhere?
Yeah, but that's it. I'm kind of like, why, if people say that, oh, they want to go off for adventure, why are you moving to another English language speaking first world country?
Oh, it's the handiness.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't be trying to learn Spanish or something. No,
I genuinely don't think I could go abroad. Like chatting to some of my best friends who've been abroad, like, you know, one of my mates was out there. He didn't really enjoy it. He kind of stayed out there and done it anyway because the money was good enough. Mm. But like he said, he was living with like an Aussie one and her boyfriend, and they'd be fighting the whole time. And he'd be like, you know, he's sharing a house with like Aussies, people he don't really know. He said, to come home then, your man and your one be having a row after a night out. He'd be saying, oh, I hate when you like this. And she'd be like, well, I hate when you fucking piss on my leg, Keith.
he had a little drip when he was drunk.
Yeah. Oh. So, you know, I just don't think I could handle it. And I am a home bird, 100%. I do. I really miss home whenever we leave. But it's great for us here that we haven't had to emigrate. Like, and we get the chance to travel with the two Johnnies. Like, we've been all over the world.
Yeah, the Australia thing, people think it's going to be home and away.
Yeah. That's the thing. They watch Home and Away at 20 past one on a Monday and they think, oh yeah, it's going to be like this. I'll be out drinking coffees with Alf Short.
Right. Home and Away is the biggest recruitment drive that's ever come out of Australia.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you watch when you put on Irish TV? Fair City.
Yeah.
There's nobody. Misery. There's nobody in Melbourne going, oh, that Fair City looks great. Let's move to Ireland.
Yeah. You know, everybody thinks life's the beach. I don't think it's like that. But like, I love the home comforts. I love my family. I love being here with my friends, playing the GA. I just, home is where the heart is. Yeah, as I say, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
But this lad wants to see the world, Johnny. He wants an adventure.
But does he? He's asking us. He don't know. This man doesn't know.
But if it's nagging at him, if it's on its mind, if it's on his mind, then it's there.
We'll get to advising him later on. But I mean, Maura, the question that brought us into this was Maura asked us, where did we ever think about emigrating, or would we emigrate? I mean, there was a time when I had no job. I dropped out of college and I couldn't get a job, and I was fucking miserable, like. And I wasn't, because I was actually living at home during this time, I wasn't able to get the dole or anything. So I had no money. Zero, like. I was just like, my mother was feeding me. That was about it.
And that's an expensive process, I can tell you.
Yeah. And my mother was saying, you know, would you not think about going out to New York? A couple of lads from Roscrea were out there and stuff. So talk was, I was going to go to New York, and I think it was like April. I was going to go to New York in the June and go over there, like, and kind of immigrate at 19. But thankfully, I got a job in Clonmel, and it kept me from emigrating. So other than that, I would have been probably in New York, yeah. Mm. But like, not Australia, too far. Mm. It's too far.
Australia's got all them snakes.
You don't spiders. Like snakes?
Spiders, lad. How could you emigrate to a place that have spiders that big, like?
How could you emigrate to a place that don't have chicken rolls?
Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, big
Do
issue.
Do you know what I mean? That would be a major issue for me. I don't think I could handle it. Do they have Lucozade over there?
I don't think so, no. But they'd have some sort of sports isotonic drink.
They don't have it in New York either, except for certain places owned by Irishmen. You can go in the back and he'll give you the Lucozade.
Well, what Australia does have is a good attitude. I think they're like the Irish in that sense. I was in a caravan park in eastern Australia, and I walked into the communal jacks, and there was an old lad there doing what he does, and he said, "G'day, how are you going?" And he said, "I'm going good, how are you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm going good." And he said, "Well, that's two of us. Bugger the rest of them."
That's brilliant. They have got a kind of an easy going, as such, like. But
it's the sun.
The sun.
They're pure raw. I understand now that a lot of Australians have Irish heritage, because they do look like, imagine the camera spies moved to Australia and then left them alone for 200 years. They're now Australians.
Yeah.
Going on playing that. Did you ever see that Aussie rules football? Yeah. That's just neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's a tough game. I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
You want to explain the rules of Aussie football to people? It's like leash club football with a flat ball.
I mean, the big thing we see, Johnny, like, because we travel abroad, you know, to where the Irish people are, obviously, like, because they're our audience. Yeah. So we've been...
We're not as big with the Spaniards.
No. Or the Estonians aren't really into us. But, you know, we've been to New York. We've been to Boston. We've been to Abu Dhabi.
I mean, Scotland.
Scotland. We're going away to San Fran and San Diego. The three of us are going on Thursday. But, I mean, the thing we see out there is the Irish people get more Irish abroad. Mm. I've never seen anything like it. So, they're mad into Picture This and all that when they're here, you know. And then they leave abroad and they're just listening to the Dubliners and the Pogues. Like, they love rebel music and all that. They're shipping over Tato's and chocolates like mad people, like, you know. Yeah. Open up a suitcase there. Oh, my mother sent me this for Christmas, 200 packets of Tato. They probably didn't even eat when they were at home here in Ireland. Yeah. That's a crazy thing we see. And the national anthems. Yeah. It was unbelievable. We were in New York for a tip game last year, the semi-final against Galway, and the national anthem came on before the game on the television.
This is in the pub.
In the pub in New York. The whole place stood up. You'd hear a pin drop.
If I was going to make you emigrate somewhere, I said, Smacks, you have to leave Ireland for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Where would you go?
New York.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. In a heartbeat. I'd rock the place. Be the king of New York.
New York is quite a big place, but we find out the hard way. We'll go visit the Statue of Liberty. 3 hours on a train.
Misery.
Oh, but New York is so big that there are Irish areas.
Mm. Yeah.
Where it was very like home. Just nice weather. And
It's quite homely in those Irish.
They do have a different attitude. What we found, all the Irish lads in America, a lot of them are doing really well. They go out hungry for work.
Yeah.
And that is that American dream, maybe, whatever. Work hard.
But they help each other so much more than we would in Ireland. Like, we're an awful nation of begrudgers here as well. Like,
yeah.
Big time. Hell, I suppose we've all been guilty of it one way or another.
See, when they go to America, they can just begrudge the Americans.
Yeah.
And then they stick together.
They can help each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that that's a really interesting point that you raised there about it's easier to be successful abroad, because I definitely think when it comes to, say, forgetting guests on the late late or something like that, you know, it's like if somebody's made it big abroad, you know, that's, that helps, you know.
And sorry, Maura works for RTE, in case you don't know, guys.
Yeah.
Shh.
But yeah, no, like, if an American got a new car, they'd be like, oh my God, man, I'm super, super
stoked.
Stoked for you, man, to have your new car. If you get a new car in Ireland, like, where did that fucker get the money for that?
Who does he think he is?
Who does he think he is with a new car? You know, that's, yeah. So that's the difference, okay. I guess.
Yeah, like, if society. If you're American and you set up a company and it goes bust and you start another one, people are like rooting for you. But if here, if you opened a business and it closed down, oh, remember the time he opened a sports shop? The fucking Egypt.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. But I mean,
on Americans too, we find this definitely. Like, if somebody's doing well in America, oh, like, they're massive. They must be great. And yet when Americans come to Ireland, we treat them like they're toddlers. Yeah. They wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah. Mm. But there's no flies in them boys. Huh? Well.
They probably ate them.
To a certain degree. Now, we done a sketch, Johnny, about people coming home from Australia and London and a couple of places there.
Yeah, that was inspired now because one of a guy I went to school with came home from Australia and he was all tanned and full of Aussie dollars. And he had a watch. Remember this, Johnny? Did you meet him at Christmas?
Yeah.
How much? He said he paid $1,000 for the watch.
Something like that. $1,000 or $2,000 for the watch, yeah.
And it's not that we don't, like, that's a lot of money in the difference. Sorry, we just can't remember the details of the story. And this was going on. He was proud as punch telling us all he paid $2,000 for the watch. Like, you know, I might give a fiver to a black lad on the street in Lanzarote. Like, that's about...
this lad was the extent he'd Johnny will buy a watch.
He was pure proud as punch. And another mate of mine was working in London. I swear to God, he went over, he left care, as they say, a tang. You know, with the old bootcut jeans and the check shirt. Well, 2 weeks in London, he came home like Jamie Oliver's gay cousin.
But it's crazy, like there's girls who've left care and stuff like that, and you know, they come home from London and they've been out there 6 months with a fucking accent.
Oh, the accent.
Unbelievable.
Ah, Maura.
Jeez, did you ever hear such... So that inspired that.
I do have friends that, they it's not that they change their accent, but they start talking really properly. And then for the first half an hour when they're home, you're looking at them and it's like, why is he talking weird?
Why do I want to punch
him? And then
the
pint takes effect and suddenly it's bogger accent, pure bog. Yeah. So.
But yeah, that's what inspired that sketch. But I mean, we need to get to the root of this. We need to give this man advice. We need to solve this dilemma for Dooley.
Is he running away from a woman or anything like that now?
You see, that's what we don't know. Is he?
No. What I think this I think he's quite happy where he is, but he sees other people going off, and he might be influenced. Are they having a better time than I am here?
They're staged photo shoots. Is all this Instagram crack is now. Same. We were talking to somebody this morning who was only back from America, and we're like, "Jeez, it looked lovely over there." He said, "Yeah, every time we wanted to take a photo, we'd take off our jackets and pretend it was sunny."
Or you just left your jackets on. Like,
that's a fact.
But sure, they were trying to make us all jealous back in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I get that. But I suppose... Yeah, I...
No.
Right, you might disagree with me here. This is the advice I have for Dooley. I'd say, build a life here. Mm-hmm. Right? He said he's got a reasonably good job. Save your money. See the world on holidays. Rather than moving there, hook, line and sinker, leaving your job... Leaving what you've built here in Ireland, I would say go and visit on holidays. Now, it's easy for me to say we go all over the world, but I mean, that's what I'd be saying to him. I mean, if you leave, like if he leaves now, he'll do 3 or 4 years out there and he'll come back to Ireland and he'll have to go and get a job again. So it's almost back to square one.
Yeah, but
for me,
you don't know what's going to happen him out there. He could pick up invaluable experience. He might change as a person, pick up a different attitude.
Probably not. He's living in Galway, for fuck's sake. He's probably seen everything already. You know? You
bloody
know Galway.
Hippies.
That's what I'd be thinking. I think he's delaying the inevitable, which is like settling. Mm. You know, period. So is he going to go there 5-6 years, come back, and then have to settle here again?
I'd say
stay where you are, Dooley. Save a few pounds and go off to Australia on a 3-week holiday or something.
What is settling like? Settling down is a state of mind.
CC, yeah.
Says me, yeah, I'm still not settled down.
Maybe so, yeah, maybe so.
You know what I mean? I don't think...
You don't have the urge to travel. Did you have it, like?
Well, I like travelling.
Yeah, but you went on your holidays. Like, you never immigrated.
No. But yeah. I had a family business. My family are hurley makers. Like, I wasn't going to leave that. And then we have this going on for the last couple of years. So I'm not leaving this. Johnny, you can relax.
Grant, thank God for that.
Welcome to the Johnny podcast.
But no, for me, I would be saying to him, visit all these places. Get it out of you.
Yeah.
Via a holiday rather than, or even, do you know what I'd say? Here we go. Go off to Australia there for 3 weeks. Go on a holiday. If you really love it out there and you think that's where you'd settle, or Canada, wherever he's thinking, go there on a holiday, explore it, see what it's like before actually just going, right, no, that's it, there's my notice, I'm off to Australia, gets on the plane, boomerang, he's back 2 weeks later.
Like my mate Joey the Lips.
Yeah, there you go. Big going away party.
Yeah, okay. My mate Joey the Lips was home after a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
Well, fair play to him for coming home if he didn't like it. That's a good life choice to make, rather than, I know some people who just stuck it out and they'd end up miserable and
yeah
but you want to test it out, because you don't want to go somewhere like London and then realise, oh no, you know, I'm from Loughrea, London is way too busy for me.
Yeah.
The tube, like, they're rubbing lads with Vaseline, kicking them onto the tube. Johnny, if you were to emigrate, do you know where you'd go? Lanzarote,
probably. That's where I'll finish out my days for sure. Yeah, to Johnny's pub. Lanzarote, there you go. That's the dream. So, Dooley, I hope we've enlightened you a bit.
Well, can I just throw in my tuppence first? Okay.
Well,
I would say emigration, I think seeing the world is a good thing. I think if you want to go live, work somewhere else, you have to have more of a reason than, oh, people over there seem to be having a good time. You have to think that's a part of the world that I would like to see and spend time there. You have to do your research on this. Don't be influenced by other people that do it. And plus, where you are, Galway is great crack. So if you're in a brilliant location and you have a job that you like, you're doing fairly well in life. Don't be feeling pressurized to go, you know, go off and do other things because everybody else is. That's my view.
He doesn't need it for work, by the sound of it. He seems
pretty settled here, yeah. So what do you think, John? What would you tell him to do?
I'd say the same thing. I would say do a bit of research, go on some holidays. And you can do the travel bug. Possibly, like, you can take a career break.
Yeah.
And, you know, just don't go out into beer for a while or something. Save your money and then travel.
There you go. We're solving people's life problems here on the Two Johnnies podcast. I hope you enjoyed that one, lads. Dooley.
Oh, man, Dooley, bye.
Let us know what you're going to do. Get in touch.
Okay, it's my least favourite time of the week.
Jesus Christ. What am I breaking my arse coming up with this shit for?
So Smacks is taking a lot of abuse, but it's not stopping him talking about his Love Island updates on this podcast. Do not skip forward, lads. This will be entertaining. So Kevin tweeted saying, Smacks needs to get over the infatuation with Love Island. Saw 5 minutes of it on last night and there's more realistic rom-coms involving Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks than that muck. Smacks, man, defend yourself. You've got...
Do you know what? Why do I fucking bother? Why do I bother? Do you know what? Nah, forget about it. I won't even bother doing it. Joking, I'm doing it. 90 seconds. Shut the fuck up. Here it's coming at you, right? So firstly, the week started off, Haley and Charlie went home. They're clearing out the Deadwood. Haley, more brains in a Mars bar, in fairness. So they sent in two more birds, Ellie and Zara. Ooh. Ellie, interesting, right? Blonde, nice one. Johnny, you would. Oh. You wouldn't grant a half to.
Oi, oi.
So she chose Dr. Alex, right? She went on a couple of dates with a few lads, chose Dr. Alex. And she said she was looking for a shot of penicillin.
Ah!
You get it? You get it, yeah? Someone just went, oh, penis. Yeah, you're right. Now, in fairness, I actually think Alex is a virgin. So I don't think she'd be getting much off him, the doctor.
Jeez, you'd imagine he'd be familiar with the anatomy of a woman.
Lad, he went to shift her the other night. He nearly ate her. It was like he was eating a corn on the cob. He had his two hands on her. He's going to fucking choke her, I'd say.
He's probably just really pent up. Like,
their first kiss, in fairness, if I was to put one word on it, it'd be sloppy. Do you want them washing machine shifts when you were a young lad? You shift for 25 minutes and there's a load of drool hanging off the bottom of your chin down on your Sinetti t-shirt. There you go. That's exactly what they're... Honestly, and it's so bad. Alex has committed to this so much and everybody's rooting for him. Like, he went to shifter the other night and they were shifting. Everyone was like, hey, It was like a teenage disco and everyone goes, hey, shift.
Oh, God.
That's honestly what it reminded me of. So Zara also entered the villa at the same time as Ellie. Now, you know, Adam. Adam took a shine to her. Mm. Now, Adam.
Adam is a...
He's a horn dog, lad.
Okay.
He's a horn dog. That's the only word from him now. And he seen Zara. Lads, was like curry to a piss head. As soon as he seen her. He was in heat. Adam is in heat, lad. He's like a bad Jack Russell now, honest to God. And Zara looks exactly like Super Nanny. Did you ever see that show? Doesn't she? Joe Frost looks exactly like
her. And somebody from Finding Nemo.
Yes. So, you know, she's all right now. In fairness, Rosie was who Adam was with.
Rosie's a fine bird as well.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, she looks like she works in a strip club. So she does.
She's a solicitor.
I wouldn't be getting her to defend me anyway. That's for fucking. That's for sure. And she has a implants in her back. You know, the diamonds. She's three of them in her back.
What?
And she's a solicitor. The fuck will she should be locked up?
What are they for?
They're it's body jewelry. It's
Do you know some women get their pierced? You know the pierced Monroe.
Above their...
Yeah, but she has three little yolks in her back. Like ear piercings, but in her back. Do you ever hear
I'll show you a picture later.
Yeah, do you ever hear
what's that about?
I don't know.
Apparently it's sexy.
Would they be... sexy, but imagine you're up on top of her and her back... Would they be itching her back against the sheets, like?
Probably, lad.
She'd be ripping the sheets on you.
They're quite small, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're a sight.
Yeah, I think they're tacky, to be honest.
Yes, as soon as I seen them, I just thought trailer trash. Anyway, so...
Airport security be a nightmare.
A love triangle came into play then. It was like Mike Baldwin and Ken Barlow back in the day with Deirdre Rashid. We had a big... So Adam is at the head of the triangle, right? Mm-hmm. He like a dog with two dicks. And then Zara and Rosie. So it all came down. Rosie was acting real sassy. She called Adam out in front of everyone, you know, and started fucking him over, giving him a load of abuse. But she forgets that she actually took Adam off Kendall in the beginning. So that's karma for Rosie. What goes around comes around. So recoupling came... Adam paired up with Zara. Happy days, right? So Adam is onto his third bird now. He's fucking milling it in there, boy. I tell you, wait till he gets out. He'll do some sawn. Now, Laura and Wes, rocky week for them. After Ellie was interested in Wes as well, but she pied him in favour of Alex, Dr. Alex. So Wes was straight back into Laura, telling her he was mad about, right? They had makeup sex.
Oh.
Yeah, did an old bonk.
Was that on the telly?
They kind of showed the old, you know, motion in the ocean, but they didn't show insertion or anything like that. Christ almighty, it's not that kind of show. But, you know, so they're going well now, they're going good guns. And Wes has set up a society called the Do Bit Society. So fellas are allowed into this society, you know, I don't make believe shit, but allowed in if they've done a bit. Now you know what a bit is. Bit of on the top stuff. An old hand shandy.
With another woman or by themselves?
Digital. You know, digital. Digital.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sorry to lower the tone, but...
So, any of them that have seen Championship Action.
That's a great way of putting it, Johnny. Yeah. They're in the Do Bit Society, which Wes has set up. And, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's quite sad, you know. It's when lads... It reminds me of a young lad again. You know, when you come back after shifting young one and the boys say, Well, what you do her? I topped her, lad. And if anybody wants to know what topping is... They can private message either me or Johnny B and we'll happily tell them. So all was good in the villa then until Sam arrived. We got a new man. The new boy on the block, he had a pop at Adam straight away.
Yeah.
He said he's going to show Adam how to treat women. This lad's a tosser as well. Honest to God. So he chose Samira, which meant Rosie was off home.
Aww.
Off to sell veneers.
She's gone, is she?
Rosie's gone. Yeah, her and her implants. She's gone. So then Sunday night, last night... Everything was settled. Everyone was coupled up. They're all in the pool, kissing the whole lot. And Jack asked Danny to go out with him.
Aww.
So they're officially boyfriend and girlfriend now. That's Jack and Danny Dyer. Danny Dyer's daughter.
Sure, they've been coupled up anyway, have they not?
Yeah, but they haven't been going out. So now they're going out.
Can I ask you a question? Because I haven't seen it in the past week. Do you think... Because Danny initially didn't like Jack.
She loves him now.
Yeah, you think it's genuine? Or is it a strategy to win?
I think it's genuine. Now, yeah. I could be wrong. I'm a fool for love. I'm just a fool.
Love Island. It's not love. It's not even a feckin' island.
No, it's actually Mallorca.
The whole show.
So, Jack and Danny are officially going out now. It was very romantic. Imagine poor Jack having to go home to Danny Dyer, the actor.
Oh, God.
He'll shit his trousers. But I don't think he will get to go home to Danny Dyer because if Heat Magazine is to be believed, And everything that Heat magazine published is true. We all know that. They said Jax X is coming in this week. Watch this space. That's my update. Be back. I actually won't be back next week.
Because you're going to America.
No, because I've had enough of this shit. People give me abuse online. Go on.
No, no, we'll make you do a bit more, but when we get back from America.
Okay, so let's get on to the Yurt or Dirt.
Yurt or Dirts of the Week. All right, finally, it's time for our Yurts and Dirts of the Week. This is where we give our highlight and low light of the week. Johnny B, kick us off.
My dirt is Love Island.
Ah, lad, come on now.
No, I'm not joking. I haven't been watching it. My Yurt of the Week is I went to Semple Stadium Thursday night. The Tipperary Under-21s were playing Limerick and they had a great win. It was a fantastic game. And I was lucky enough to be in entertaining the team at one of their recent training sessions. Got to meet the lads. They're lovely. I was going in the gate with my good buddy, Eddie. And Eddie says, there's the Son of God there now. So Owen Kelly was behind us. For those that don't know, Owen, to us, is probably the greatest hurler of all time. Mm-hmm. Definitely the best Tipperary hurler. And he'd been a hero of ours growing up. And Owen said, oh, well, Johnny, how you going? And he said, can I get a photo for the young lad? So my hurling idol, Owen Kelly, stopped me to get a photo with his son in Semple Stadium. And that was quite surreal.
What did Eddie say?
Eddie is also a bit of a social media star. And he didn't ask Eddie to get in the photo. So I was secretly delighted. Right?
Eddie is not going to be happy, lad. I'll tell
you. It's a bit of a burn there.
I'll tell you that much.
Okay, Smax, what have you got for me?
I've got a... My Yurt of the Week is Donegal's hurling win.
Mm.
So the boys, there's a fella from Ross Gray, a good friend of mine. I went to school with him, Davin Flynn. He's from Ross Gray and he's hurling with Donegal. And they had a great win in the Nicky Rackard at the weekend. And Davin was to the forefront. I watched it online on TG Cahir. And can I also mention, fair play to TG Cahir for showing it.
Mm-hmm.
Online, it was, you know, these boys need the coverage.
Yeah.
They're flying up there in the hills of Donegal. I'm sure they're probably partying as we speak. They're still on it. So fair play to all the boys up there.
They are. I've been getting some good Snapchats from people in the Donegal hurling setup and the celebrations are fantastic.
So fair play to the boys. We wanted to give them a shout out and you know, bring them to the forefront. It's not often that they get the coverage. Can I just join another Yurt?
Ooh.
So it's a Facebook page. Another guy, he does videos, you know, and stuff, and he does call outs like similar to the travellers doing the call outs and stuff. Mm. And it's Langer's Laughs. Langer Laughs on Facebook. He done a call out video to Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. Lads, honestly, I cried laughing at during the week. So I just thought, he's my Yurt of the Week now as well.
So okay, so on Dirt, bit of a funny one, but one of my favourite bands, Pearl Jam, had to cancel part of their tour. And they were getting a lot of abuse about it. Now, it's very simple. The singer, Eddie Vedder, got sick, he lost his voice.
Mm.
And this has happened to me. Sometimes you overdo it, you know, maybe you're out and there's pints involved, but sometimes it just happens and you're sick. And I really feel for Eddie, because what happens to me, if you're a singer and you lose your voice, it is the worst thing in the world. I'd rather go blind. It really is terrible, and I want people to take it easy on Eddie. He's doing his best and he's no spring chicken.
Mm.
They're going about 30 years. He's allowed a sick day.
Give the man a break.
Give him a break.
My Dirt of the Week is, did anybody see the video of the priest slapping a child during the week?
Yeah.
Fuck me. He's my Dirt of the Week.
Yeah.
How did the parents...
Explain the context of it though.
So there was a christening. Mm. And a child is getting christened and the child is crying. You know, bawling. Yeah.
Just, I think it happened somewhere in the Caribbean, in a French speaking area of the Caribbean. I couldn't find the source of that video. Yeah. But
so the priest starts like kind of hugging the child and then he just draws a little... Now it's not major. He doesn't knock the child out around, but he gives him a fair pepper in the jaw.
Yeah,
now.
It's a proper smack,
slap, like open-handed slap.
What age is the child?
The child has been christened and the priest, like...
Wait, so the child is like, what, 2 months old?
Yeah.
It looks a bit bigger than that, maybe 8 months.
Yeah, but the priest is fairly old and it's creepy. And the parents are a little bit stunned initially. Yeah. And then they're like, suddenly like, give us our child. Let go.
I'll tell you one thing. If that was my child, I'd have drove that priest in over the tabernacle.
Mm.
And that's a fact.
Chin him.
I'd have chinned him, lad, there and then. Holy God, come back to me. That's a fact. That's my Dirt of the Week. If anybody sees that video, it is actually a bit disturbing, to be honest. Yeah. But look, listen, that's life.
We're nearly there. So look, before we give you a clip of our brand new single, best wishes to former Republic of Ireland soccer player and pundit Tony Cascarino, who is unwell at the moment. He's going for surgery soon. Keep it up, Tony.
Man, Tony. Also, don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. That's it for this week's show. I mean, we're off to America, but can we just say the single is out Tuesday.
9 a.m.
Yeah, so that's tomorrow if you're listening on a Monday. So Tuesday at 9 a.m. the single is on iTunes. Download it, lads. Let's get to number one. Also, this Friday, Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Two Johnnies podcast live. We'll all be there in the Sugar Club. You don't want to miss it, lads. Tickets are going to go fast, so get your hands on them. It's going to be the hottest show in town. We've got so much planned for it. It's just fucking blowing my mind.
Until you see what we've got planned for the live podcast.
It's going to be brilliant. Mara, happy with this week's podcast?
Very happy.
Terrific. Right, we're off for lunch. I'm Johnny Smacks.
I'm Johnny B.
I'm producer Maura.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Good luck.
Here's a bit of the summer tune.
I got a summer job. The pay was bad and I was flogged. Had just done me leaving, dreaming of long summer evenings. Worked on my farmer's tan, knocked back a bag of cans. Saturdays in Tramore, fish and chips, chasing Bures.
I met a girl, she was from Clonmel. I think I fell in love, sure I was young, it's hard to tell. She was queen of the fair, I felt like a millionaire. Bought her a 99, said I'll be yours if you'll be mine.
No, that'll do ye.
No, that's it. Hope you enjoyed that little snippet of our new single, Summer Tune.
Yeah, if you want any more, go away and download it.
No, we're giving you this podcast for free.
99 cents for a song.
Download the old song, Lesby Sound.
Come on.
Go on.
Come on.
Bye.
The Two Johnnies podcast is a Big Ball, Small Ball production.